some problems, and no one could seem to solve them. But you found the answer. You told me to take this chance and learn the ways of love, my baby, and all that it has to offer. In time you will see.
Yeah, I bet you can groove to that, can't you?
Of course.
Yeah, I thought I'd open it up a little smooth for you guys.
It's pretty smooth.
You said that you loved me. Said hurt only came.
Gotta love El DeBarge.
Love all the DeBarges. So
yes, what's up? DeBarge. Some of you people don't know. Just trying to hit. I'm just trying to come in a little smooth this time.
Soft.
You know what I mean? For the listeners. You guys might want to be... You guys might want to relax tonight. You might be kicked back, you know, with that special someone. I might even put this...
It reminds me of the...
Miriam's laughing, people.
It reminds me of that voicemail message you were trying to leave with Prince.
You know, you might have that special someone in your life. You just might want to... You might want to wrap your arm around him. Or you might not. You know what I mean? El DeBarge was just saying he had some problems. You know, everybody got problems.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's up. So, yeah. Woo. Welcome to another episode of American Riddle, people. Maybe we got to get the energy going up in this camp. Can El DeBarge bring it? I bet you can. Bet you can. You got the rhythm of the night. You remember that song?
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
That song makes me happy.
He's a unique fellow, unique family, actually. From back in the day, El DeBarge, from Michigan. From Michigan. Claim to fame, you know what I mean?
You should be proud.
The Michigan version of the Jacksons. And it was an ongoing kind of back and forth. It was ongoing between Prince, Michael Jackson, DeBarge, depending on whose camp you were in.
It's that high-pitched voice, you know?
Yeah, it was. And the Bee Gees, too. You know, the Bee Gees had it going on. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to try to do it right now, people. Let me drink my drink.
What clear kind my of drink throat is
like,
that?
Like Sinatra. Drinking a little mangria.
Mm. Mm.
Compliments of Adam Carolla.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I can't always open it up hard and heavy with rock or rap.
That's fine.
You know, I gotta
soften it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know how I do it, people. Huh? I put you in the mood. Everybody's got their lighter on right now. Or their cell phones. I don't even know if they do the lighter anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
I think it's a cell phone now, right?
Well, at any concert now, there's always phones and
yeah,
shit. Like,
it's a phone with the lighter on it. I think an app. So it's changed a bit, huh?
Oh, God.
So if you're listening to this right now, American Riddle Podcast, put your lighter up or your cellular phone with your app of a lighter. What's that say about us?
Sad. Weird.
It's all this love for you guys listening. So, yes, another episode of American Riddle, and I do appreciate you guys tuning in. So, on to the next. And I'm sitting here joined by Miriam Tazi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Malcolm?
Making it happen. That's right.
Trying to.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I like El DeBarge. It was a funny time because I grew up in Michigan at a time. Reminds me of, I used to run with a bunch of groupies that used to run with El DeBarge and Chico DeBarge.
That's fun.
A bunch of women, yeah.
Of course they were followed by women, young girls.
Very, very attractive young ladies, too.
Of course. They were cute, too.
Spanish descent. Like, everyone kind of looked alike, you know? There's a whole bunch of people that look like me and a whole bunch of Spanish women and a whole bunch of curly hair and a lot of curls, a lot of girls, a lot of guys. Some look like girls, but it was a very unique time. And I at some point, I'm going to document this stuff for you people and let you in on that time period. But I try to share the stories. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
And they went through a lot of struggles too, the DeBarge family. I mean, through drugs and drug abuse and alcohol abuse.
Yeah, I know a little bit about
down.
It, but not probably as
and
much.
And I know
as you.
I know Elle actually had a comeback album and very well done and received. And it's just good to see him back.
I remember
healthy.
Chico.
Yeah, Chico has had a rough time, but I wish them all well. Good brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? We all got issues. So, got to pick each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of that, on our last show, we got a little bit of, I didn't get much feedback, but I did get some about, you know, the race issues and what's going down, you know what I mean, in America.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. And, what was the feedback? Or
no, it's fine, you know, just, you know, it was just... telling it like it is. I mean, there's no other way to tell it but the way that you see it and the way that how you're treated, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's what you know best, you know?
You also said it. I don't know if you said it on a podcast or not, but you said it really, really, you said it best by saying when you're faced, and don't worry, people, I'm not going to get off into
a whole rant.
Yeah, a whole new rant on. But I will share a couple of thoughts with you, because you know this is American Riddle. Mm. You said it best when you said, you know, you make a stance, you have your position, but you don't because you're treated a certain way, you don't treat people the same way you were treated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's easy to fall into that trap where you're. You know, if someone else treats you like shit, well, I'm going to treat the next seven people like shit and, you know, come down on them and race or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not helping the situation at all.
No, and it's funny because we were talking about racing, and it's just funny how the dots, and I'm always talking about how we're connected and how we, you know, how similar we are as a race, a human race.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I posted the podcast... there was a couple stories that hit online. One of them, we all know Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, astrophysicist, genius, extraordinaire, the creme de la creme okay. of science and dropping mad science on people, making it, in layman's terms, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? He makes it easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's pretty incredible.
He's insane. He's
insane.
Well, let me finish Maritazi.
Okay, what did you mean by that?
Hit off this mangria.
I'm trying to defend him. You're calling him insane.
He's insane, meaning he's twisted in the way he, you know, presents his knowledge. Insanity meaning good, like dope. You know what I mean? Not like bad, meaning not meaning bad, but bad meaning good. That type of, you know what I mean? He's sick. He's twisted. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
man.
All right.
Come
okay.
on.
Now, all
Mary,
right.
You're younger than I am. You know.
I never heard calling somebody insane was calling them dope.
Yeah, you never heard somebody say, like, that's insane, man.
That's
you never heard that.
I mean, it's like
really?
Insane in the membrane.
Like, not quite, but yes. That,
see, that's how me, insane, the, I still associate with that.
All right.
That's cool.
Anywho, moving right along,
he's
people
the
with the show.
Let's just
he
say
is.
That. He's the
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing.
Okay, well, I didn't know that expression, okay?
If you
let's
call,
look that up. I don't even know if that's a real expression.
If you call someone the shit, you know, it's the shit. Shit's not good. You know, it's like manure. Manure. Ma, meaning good, meaning mom. New, meaning new, to quote George Costanza from Seinfeld. Manure. It's good. He's the shit.
Mentioned that the other day too. It's funny that you bring it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. About
all right, fine.
The connect. So it's when I posted the podcast, this thing came up on. It was an interview going on, and it's all over the net. I'm sure you guys listening may have heard this, but I'll play the clip where, you know, race plays. Race is an issue everywhere on everyone, and you know, no one. It doesn't matter what color you are, what walk of life, how rich you are, how famous you are. You could be
or what field you're in.
Yeah, you could be white, you could be black, you could be, you know, Latino, Asian, Native American,
scientist or a
our
engineer.
Arab brothers and sisters who are catching hell. Everyone's catching hell. But uh-huh. The fact that we are all catching hell doesn't mean we have to keep spinning this tornado, this whirlpool and sucking others into it. That's the thing we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But Neil deGrasse Tyson address this both on gender and race, and let's play a quick clip of that in case some of you listening may have not heard it. But let's just play it.
slightly off topic, nonetheless interesting. Yeah.
And this is where they asked him how come there isn't any females in science.
Maybe if there are genetic differences between men and women that explain why more men are in science. Anyone want to touch that?
I've never been female. But I have been black my whole life. And so let me perhaps offer some insight from that perspective, because there are many similar social issues related to access to equal opportunity that we find in the black community as well as the community of women in a white male-dominated society. And I'll be brief because I want to try to get more questions. When I look at throughout my life, I've known that I wanted to do astrophysics since I was 9 years old, a first visit to the Hayden Planetarium. I was a little younger than Victor at the time. I was, although he did it before I did. And so I got to see how the world around me reacted to my expression of these ambitions. And all I can say is the fact that I wanted to be a scientist and astrophysicist was hands down the path of most resistance through the forces of nature and forces of society. Anytime I expressed this interest, teachers would say, don't you want to be an athlete? Or don't you want to? I want to become something that was outside of the paradigms of expectation of the people in power. And so fortunately, my depth of interest with the universe was so deep and so fuel enriched that every one of these curveballs that I was thrown in, fences built in front of me, and hills that I had to climb, I just leaped for more fuel and I kept going. Now here I am, one of the most visible scientists in the land, and I want to look behind me and say, well, where are the others who might have been this? And they're not there. And I wonder what is the blood on the tracks that I happen to survive that others did not, simply because of the forces of society that prevented at every turn, to the point where I have security guards following me as I go through department stores, presuming that I'm a thief. I walked out of a store one time, and the alarm went off, and so they came running to me. I walked through the gate. At the same time, a white male walked through the gate, and that guy just walked off with the stolen goods, knowing that they would have stopped me and not him. That's an interesting sort of exploitation of this. Yeah. Of what a scam that was. I think people should do that more often, all right?
I was like shopping with you.
So my life experience tells me that when you don't find blacks in the science, you don't find women in the sciences, I know that these forces are real, and I had to survive them in order to get where I am today. So before we start talking about genetic differences,
right,
you gotta come up with a system where there's equal opportunity, then we can have that conversation.
So,
respect.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard this before. You know, we've heard this before, and it still exists, and it's existing this very moment, this very time, all over.
Yeah,
but you can't let it stop you, because imagine if. When he said he wanted to be an astrophysicist and his teacher shot him down, imagine if that happened and he was distracted or discouraged. We wouldn't have him. His brilliant mind. We wouldn't have that. We'd be minus that. We'd be in the hole. We'd be without. We'd be void.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a scary thought.
It is a scary
thought. It can just
thought.
Be like that quick of an instant. You know what I mean? I can destroy, like, all this knowledge, basically, you know?
Yeah. Every time around this goddamn time, that fucking dog, I'm going to kill this dog. I shouldn't even say this on the podcast, because if something happens to the dog, they're coming after me, and they're going to throw me under the jail. You see what they did to
Michael. Poor dog.
You see what they did to Michael Vick. You know what they'll do to me?
You're not fighting this dog.
But you know what they'll do to me? They're already after me. Shit. Mm-hmm. Oof. Anyway, people, forget about the dog.
You should forget about the dog
barking in the background.
If you
guys may or may not hear it, but I hear it.
It bothers you a lot.
It does. Every time.
Yep.
So, imagine that, though. I mean, I told you a story, you know, and I don't like bringing it up because it depresses me, but as a child growing up, a similar thing happened to me when I went out for different different roles, you know, in academics. I wanted to go out and pursue drama, and went out for several roles, and got laughed at by the kids, and they called me nigger, and they said I couldn't play a certain role. I think it was signing the Declaration of Independence, and I went out for different roles of historic people, mm-hmm. and yeah, it was at that time. You know, in the late 70s, leading into the 80s, it was unheard of within the classroom, and yeah, I was ridiculed, and it was tough. It was a tough pill to swallow, you know, as a child, to hear that from your peers. On top of that, even the teacher laughed at me and said it was not possible because I was black. I'm not going to say I didn't think anything of it. I just gave up on it. And even ever since then, I never went out for a role again or pursued that. I always had the fire to be in the creative arts, mm-hmm. but it slowed my momentum down.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I withdrew and I started writing and drawing, and that's what my parents saw me doing. So they thought I wanted to be like an architect or something like that. And I remember they bought me this big desk and stuff like that, and the drawing rulers and pens and stuff. But really, I wanted to pursue the arts of writing, whether it was poetry or storytelling and acting. And it was me. I don't put blame on the people, you know, my oppressor. I don't put blame on them because I was the one being oppressed. I was the one being victimized. I should have been stronger. But it was hard as a child to be able to. I knew what was going on, but I didn't know how to combat it
the right way.
That's
the thing. As a child, it's difficult to get those
tools. Most of the time you would go home. I was telling my mother this the other day. I was like, most of the time you go home and, you know, you tell your parents this and your parents have a conversation with you and then they encourage you and stuff like that. But at that time, my parents were going through a difficult time. So I knew I would catch hell. You know what I mean? I was caught in a rock in a hard place. So I was like, I'm going to catch hell in school. If I go home and bring something up, I'm going to catch hell just because of some ongoing issues there. So I really know where to go. And so I just kind of I found sanctuary within my own mind.
What about your brothers?
My own brain. It was every man for himself. Really? It was, yeah, we were all catching. Well, my much younger brothers, they weren't even in school at the time. Back in those days, there was no daycares and stuff like that. No, it was just my older brother. And yeah, I mean, you know, it was tough. Yeah, it was a tough period. But the point is, if anyone's listening and you're catching hell, if anyone is going through it, don't withdraw. You know, find a resource, find someone that you can talk to.
A mentor of sorts.
And most importantly, don't give up.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Do not give up. Do not be discouraged because of your age, because of your race, because of your gender, because of who you love, because of anything that anyone says is not quote unquote normal. Okay.
Don't, I like that message.
Yeah, don't. Don't give up. So just keep going. Keep powering through. You know, it's only now that I'm able to find a way to channel any creative energy that I have and put it through and present it in an artistic form.
You also have the technology for it nowadays.
I had to wait a long
time. I know. You keep saying it. We had
time.
Nothing.
Yeah,
Miriam, we had nothing had back then.
I had to wait a long time. Let me tell
that
you.
That helps, you know. It helps.
So you fast forward today, and there's still issues. You know, people always say, oh, we're post-racial, post. Well, we're not.
Mm-mm.
Okay, we're not. We're a very animalistic, aggressive society. You know what I mean? We prey on each other, unfortunately. But I have faith. I have a lot of faith, and I have a faith in the younger generation, and I can see it every day when I see children of my own. And I have one child, not children, but and I see other children playing in public, and I see how they interact, and you witness it, and it feels good. I have hope.
Good.
I do have hope.
Glad and, to hear it.
But when I see stuff like this that was on the news today, some of you may be familiar with him on the television show called Morning Joe, with Joe Scarlesborough and is it Mika Brzezinski. This is insane as in insanity, Mariam Tazi. It's insane because it's a Nevada rancher who basically he's not paying his dues. He has cattle and he's a grazer. Okay. A grazer, you know, they have the cattle and they graze. Mm-hmm. I guess they have lots of land out in Nevada, but he's refusing to pay the fees of the land or whatever. Because he doesn't believe in the quote-unquote U.S. government.
Like property tax type thing?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. They'll talk about it in this clip we're about to play. But he goes on to talk about a lot of it is because of blacks in America and his views on blacks in America. And this is what I was talking about, people, in the last podcast. And believe me, this for those of you listening, before you turn the podcast off, it's not going to be a whole podcast on race. We're going to actually get into some music at some point in time. So this was kind of itching. It's a scratch I need to itch, and I want to address because it is important that we find a way to educate the people around us and make the world a better place. But this is a clip from Morning Joe.
Now, this is one that's hard to believe. Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy has found, plenty of anti-government activists and pundits.
A lot of people from all over the country have gone there, in fact, because I've heard it's about freedom.
Right.
Nick. I've heard this. I've heard that having a right.
I understand.
That no other rancher in America has.
Yeah.
Is this one rancher's God-given right?
Right.
Because the Constitution of the United States.
Okay.
Actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Willie, I'm not good on this.
Help us out, Will.
You go to the Federalist Papers. Is it 14 or 37 where James Madison actually inscribes the Bundy family's name into the Federalist Papers? Could you tell me? Because I really don't know.
Very specific about that. Here's all you need to know about that. Here's a quote from Mr. Bundy. I abide by all Nevada state laws, but I do not recognize the United States government as even existing.
And this is as even existing, this is a man, some self-described conservatives, said a week or two ago, there's nothing conservative about this man, have embraced.
No.
And this is where nihilism against the federal government as the basis of your ideology gets you in trouble every time. I'm not going to even draw parallels. There was another figure, though, that a lot of so-called conservatives raced to a year or two ago, and then it ends up he gets arrested three or four more times for
it's the kind of conservatism
beating up girlfriends and wives.
Undermines everything.
Allegedly.
That conservatives should be about.
Supposedly stand for.
But new comments by Bundy in a front page story in the New York Times will undoubtedly leave some of his supporters with buyer's remorse if they have even half of a pea in their brain. Bundy, of course, is the rancher who refused to pay the government more than $1 million in grazing fees for using federal lands. His defiance attracted the attention of anti-government activists, and armed militias have come to his defense. After a tense standoff, the Bureau of Land Management eventually backed off a court order to confiscate his cattle. With steady coverage in the conservative media, Bundy has used the attention to hold daily news conferences to discuss his views on government overreach, welfare, and race. And according to the Times, this is a front page story today, in a recent talk, Bundy launched into a tirade on African American families, using a racial slur and adding, quote, this. They were basically on government subsidy. So now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton and having a family life and doing things? Or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom.
This is more like
I have a few more. Would you like me to read them?
Do we give the guy time?
But there are defenders of this person.
This guy is more like the Branch Davidians than he is.
Right. So what
is a whack job? But Michael Crowley, the bigger problem is here, and I understand I risk actually, despite
So you see blatant racism here. What's going on? It's pretty much mind blowing when you hear something like this. But it exists, and I talked about this on the last podcast when I teach my son that evil and ignorance is out there. You have to understand that it is. It is out there.
Yeah.
It comes at a time where, you know, the country has been divided for whatever issues. Could be because of politics. It could be a lot of it has to do with politics. A lot of it has to do with the face of America, how we're viewed, especially who our president is now. Times have changed. Times are changing, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Mm-hmm. But time moves on. And that being said, this guy is definitely using, you know, the fact that he's getting media coverage. He's using that as a platform to basically, voice his overall ignorance.
Yeah.
And people do, they fall into that. You know, other people that are frustrated, quote unquote conservatives that are frustrated, they could be frustrated for a lot of reasons. They could be frustrated financially. They could be frustrated politically. They could be frustrated personally. Everyone is frustrated somehow. Right. We all are. I've been frustrated for months now. And then you find something to latch on to. Sometimes we invest into quote unquote heroes that may not be the right person to be your leader. And this guy is definitely picking up steam. He's got militias on screen right now. If you go to any news site or just Google Calvin Bundy, it'll show the militias armed to the gills with machine guns and pickup trucks and flags. It could get dangerous. It could get out of hand. Okay. It will continue to be a touchy, subject matter when it comes to race, but all we can do is educate ourselves. Through education is, you know, how we will, improve in this society. But this is bullshit.
This is not educational.
No, that's bullshit. And for anyone to jump on board, conservative, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, ignorance is ignorance, and you should be able to see it when you're making comments, like that, based on what this person said. But again, it goes back to how people view you. And we talked a long time. I went off into a rant on the last podcast. So you guys can go back and get that. But this was a scratch I had to itch, and I wanted to address, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it. So
you mean an itch you meant to scratch?
That too. That too, Mariam Tassi. Fucking Mangria is working on me over here. I'm in a superhero stance right now, people. My chest out.
You look like you're about to, like, boost off.
That's right.
Like,
I'm a fly
into the sky.
Yeah. I'm like Iron Man without the suit. You know what I mean? Jeez.
Superman without the cape.
That's right. I got a cape.
Not on now.
Not right now, but I do have a cape.
I believe you do. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Sipping on a little Mangria. So, I recently got Virginia ABC, as we know, Virginia, the alcohol beverage control that runs things, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. the mafioso in the state of Virginia and other states. They do all the regulation. Finally approved Adam Carolla's signature wine cocktail, Mangria. So we got approval on that. I picked up samples on Friday, and I hit the streets. Actually, I hit the phones through the weekend as soon as I got the green light. And
nice.
I hit it running. Yeah, and I've been making sales since then.
Nice. That's the way to do it.
I'm happy. I'm happy about that. It kind of changed my whole perspective and attitude. I feel better.
Good.
Sigh of relief, just like, man, you know, you just feel like you're doing something. I feel like I'm doing something I believe in, but also they believe in me.
Yeah.
And when you feel that, like you've heard me, I believe your listeners also have heard me complain a few times just about the many jobs I've had since starting the podcast. And, you know, when you don't feel that someone has your back, you're just out there in the water. You know what I mean? You're just out there. Sometimes you're just out there treading. Sometimes you're just out there floating. Sometimes you're just out there and you may be sinking. And it's not a good feeling.
No.
But when you know someone has you, You know what I mean? You start kicking. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's very motivating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I felt pretty good the past week. Like, the best I felt in a long time. Long time, for real. Like, long time. Aww. So, the Corolla Camp has embraced your boy, and we've been hitting the streets, and it's been fun.
You got to say, though, they've been on point.
Yeah, those guys don't mess around.
Exactly. So that really
those guys
helps.
Don't mess around.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they when they say something, they just do it. And they're old school too. They are the type, and Adam is the type. Mr. Corollas, I call him, is the type of person that he's so old school that he believes in like the handshake deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His word is his bond. And he said that
that's as true as it gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he said that on his podcast and even his show, Catch a Contractor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where he goes around and he holds contractors who have done work. It's on Spike TV at Sunday nights, 10 o'clock. They just got renewed, actually, for a second season.
Cool.
They're going to be hour-long episodes now.
Because half an hour is a little short.
Have some more. Here, take another hit.
Thank you.
The Corolla Camp and Corolla himself is just a throwback to that time period where when they say something, they mean it. And that's just how it is.
I like that.
You know, I do, too. And you know, I don't have... To be in sales, you have to know that someone has your back so you can keep moving forward. It motivates you. It inspires you. And you work. And sales is the type of thing is, especially when you're working on 100.
Attitude.
Well, when you're working on 100% commission, if you don't sell, you don't eat.
Well, yeah.
So so to know that you're able to get things in a timely fashion, you can get answers, you can pick up a phone, you can build the relationships. You know, that's paramount. I mean, everything, you know, when people are lagging and they're unresponsive and you don't have the resources or don't know where you're going to get the answers or the product, time is money when it comes to sales. Mm-hmm. And when one day turns into two turns into a week turns into a month, and it can get a little frustrating. But, you know, and the thing about this is I just got two bottles, a red and a white, you know what I mean? I got a red and a white. That's what I'm presenting. I could use more in my arsenal, but this is a great starting point because I got a very fun and exciting red and white, the Mangria line, and which is a for those of you unfamiliar, it's a wine that is fortified with vodka, so it's got some kick. This is the ultimate party wine if you want to get down and get right to it. This is it, mm-hmm. Mangria. And far as the product line, they have the Mangria Red, the White, the Peach Pear, and then they have a new one out. It's not available in Virginia yet, but it will be in Maryland and D.C. Called Brosé, which is a play on rosé wine.
I get that.
Yeah. Well, for the listeners, it's Brosé. That's right, Brosé. But the girls like the Brosé too, don't they? Yeah, you do.
That's what I'm drinking now, pretty much.
Yeah, she likes the brosé.
Okay.
Yes, right.
All right.
That's it. I mean, I've been hitting it. I've been having the sports jacket on, the pants with the crease, you know what I mean? The shine shoes, doing it up. Today I didn't wear shine shoes. I had my tennis shoes and jacket, but I did hit a couple clients. Two of them just to do a quick just cold calling. I just go in, hey, guys. You know what I mean? I always do the humble guy role, like, oh, I don't mean to interrupt. I don't have an appointment, but I'd like to come back, do a more official type thing. Mm. You know, speak fast, to the point, leave some paperwork with them, and then, you know, if they're interested, if they show interest, I know I got them.
Yeah.
Because if they're interested, they're going to buy, and I can get the appointment, and once I get that appointment and pour it, they're going to buy it. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's been up on that front. So I'm excited about that.
I'm happy for you.
We'll see what happens. We're gonna keep on. And Adam is actually coming here on next month in May, end of May, and we're gonna do he's doing a book signing for his new book. I think pre-orders are available now on Amazon. It's called President Me, and he's gonna do a book signing in D.C. And then I think we have a tasting in McLean, Virginia. And then we go down to Richmond for a stand-up show.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
and it's a lot.
From what I'm hearing, this is all happening in one day.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out how in the world do you get to D.C. to do a book signing, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then get to a wine tasting toward the evening, around 4 o'clock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then get to the stand-up show, which starts at 7 o'clock.
What? To Richmond?
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to be able to... What?
So I'm thinking, I actually told the camp, I was like...
Do you know how far Richmond is from
Yeah, I'm like, you know we're going to need a helicopter.
Yeah.
We're going to need a helicopter. I'm thinking it's 2 days, because he actually gets in, I think, the day before. I think it's the 20th and 21st. So I'm thinking it's spread out. But in the event that it's not, I've heard him tell stories about how
that's crazy.
How he's
a
drives.
Hard worker.
Yeah, he is. I've heard many stories on the Adam Carolla show about him doing that type of grueling schedule.
Crazy.
So it should be quite interesting. I'll keep you guys posted on
that's
that.
That's awesome, though.
That's right.
That's really cool.
So that's what I've been doing as far as on a professional level. And on another note, I've been having this ongoing debate. And we've had it here on this podcast, people. We'll get down to the nitty-gritty right now. Because we're getting close to the witching hour. Mm. Got some more mangria, Miriam.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm. We have been having a hip-hop, not really hip-hop, but rap, a debate about rap and rap music, okay, which is a part of the hip-hop culture. There's a difference, people. And we've been debating back and forth, like, you know, who embodies what an MC is. And we're talking an MC. E-M-C-E-E.
Yeah.
An MC, you know what I mean? A poet, a writer, you know? Someone who tells a story, paints a picture, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Also, who goes above and beyond it, who is an influence on pop culture. Who's an influence
or
on...
hip-hop as a whole.
That's right.
Right.
And just people in general. So there's a lot of MCs. Does that exist today? We've talked about, is Rick Ross that successor? You know
I have
what
to
mean?
Say, right now you're talking a lot with your hands, and it's just like yeah. you're educating. Yeah. Wisdom, yeah. Knowledge, yeah. knowledge is coming out.
I'm like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know what I mean?
So all of a sudden, podcast. Your whole posture changed. It's like, I got to speak with my hands now.
So where I'm at with this, we've been talking about it, people, and it's yeah. a passionate debate I have with people, both young and old and in between. And there's no, let me just say this right off the bat. There's no right or wrong answer. It's like I told my son when he was in Best Buy one day and picking out CDs and stuff. And I was like, well, you're gonna listen to who speaks to you.
Right.
And who speaks to you might not speak to me, mm-hmm. but I'm going to educate you and I'm going to get you a Tribe Called Quest. Okay.
At least
I'm
going to
educate
you.
I'm going to educate you and get you Paul's Boutique. Yeah. You know what I mean? By the Beastie Boys. I'm going to educate you and give you a little KRS-One Boogie Down Productions. You know what I mean? I'm going to educate you. So you know that this existed and exists, this food, this nourishment exists. And then you can go on and, you know, find your path. But yeah. you have to understand.
This is where it comes from.
You have to understand.
Know your history.
That's right. You got to know. So that's the argument. We're going to do another podcast. I was fortunate enough to hang out with my quote-unquote godson. I consider him a son to me, a good friend of mine who passed away. His son, him and I hang out, and he's now a teenager. And we hung out... what was it, last Saturday. Hung out, we went to Georgetown in D.C. and walked around. We, you know, talked fashion, girls. Amazing what's on a teenager's mind. Amazing what comes out of a teenager's mouth. Good night. And but it was wonderful. It was just great catching up with him, Billy. And we agreed to do a podcast because we were talking rap and hip hop and who he thinks embodies what an MC is. And I'm curious to know what it is. And so I told him to pick a few songs. But I know we can't do it all in one podcast because it would be like a 6-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem doing, but we'll break it down. So I thought maybe Miriam Tazi and I would, you know, maybe pick a couple artists that we think embody what a rapper, what an MC is, And I didn't. I just asked Marion to pick two songs, and she threw a couple texts back saying, "That's impossible. I got too much. I'm biased. I can't do it. It's impossible.
Well,
what are you doing to me?"
I was having a hard time. It's very difficult when you make it so specific, or it has to be really, really specific.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you generalize it too much, it's like, well, I had to be more focused. I needed you to be more focused because I couldn't just pick. First it was like one song, then it was one MC, then it was like, now I kind of got what you wanted me to find. And I found, I think, a couple of things that'll work for this theme. But it was hard. Don't get me wrong. It took some debating back and forth in my mind.
It is tough.
It's very tough. But I think I did good. I'm proud of my picks, so I want to hear what yours are too.
Yeah, it's
Are you queuing them up right now?
I'm trying to. I'm doing my best to figure out how to make all these the mechanics of this operation. I need a sound engineer. Yeah, I need an engineer.
Shout out
people,
to a sound engineer out there.
If you guys are, if someone listening wants to be a part of the weekly podcast and
we'll
get handle all
free.
This stuff, yeah, maybe you know, some wine, maybe a sandwich or something like that.
That works.
So
he'll take care of the wine. I'll take care of the sandwich.
Let's see. How do I get back to where I'm at?
Are you going to go with your picks first or mine?
I will go. We'll do both. I'll do mine.
Okay.
And then we'll do it. Let's see. But anyway, yeah. So I'm trying to get this all get this stuff all up, and then we'll get everything playing. But yeah, there's no real right or wrong answer when it comes down to it. It's just I believe that what embodies a good MC is their art, their craft. Of course, the music, but I think music should be. I think that's secondary. I think that comes in time. I think that came in time. Where in the beginning we would, hip hop rap artists would rap over records, mm-hmm. because then there was no technology in circa 1983. Okay, there was no real technology, so we'd take two turntables. That's where two turntables and a microphone come from. You take one record, you take another record, and you'd loop them and get the beat and get music,
yeah.
And then you'd have two MCs or one MC that would rap over this. Mm-hmm. That's the history. That's what I'm talking about. I believe that's become a lost art because now we do have technology and we rely on those hooks and the music and stuff like that. I'm not disputing that the music is nice these days. What I'm disputing is
the content,
the depth, mm-hmm. you know, the food, the ingredients,
yeah.
you know what I mean? That's the stuff
message.
That I think and it doesn't always have to be a good message. Sometimes it's just storytelling. Sometimes it's just articulating. Sometimes it's enunciating. I can understand what you're saying. You're not trying to sound like the next dude or
good
the next
flow
dude.
Or,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
No,
yeah.
I
so
you.
That's the thing that's missing. So, the artist that I've decided to highlight
mm-hmm.
Is LL Cool J. You guys have heard me talk about Rakim enough, and people probably listened, thought I was going to lead into Rakim, but no, I'm going to pick Cool J because Cool J himself is, he embodies what I think is the complete MC. You have to understand, Cool J started when he was 15 or 16 years old, probably hit the limelight when he was around 16 years old
mm-hmm.
at Def Jam.
Mm.
Okay, Def Jam founded by Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons.
Yep.
All right, so New York, you're talking the history, New York rap, okay, at the
Mine's
time.
Mine's New York too.
You know what I mean? New York, that East Coast sound, you know, the
yeah.
big beat. That's the stuff. That I think of when I think of an MC. So mine is going to be more on the old school side of things. And again, when it comes to LL, and I'll talk about it after this first song, not only does he embody what an MC as far as the way he raps and the way he tells, paints a picture, but his longevity is unheard of.
That's true.
When you think of Cool J.
I do
J.
respect that.
Now, the kids,
for
kids
sure.
today, when they think of Cool J, they think of the MC who's hosting the award shows, mm. and it's on this TV show or that TV show, the bald, muscular guy and stuff like that. But, I mean, this dude you know, pound for pound. I mean, you're talking circa 1986. Come on, man. So let's start it off with this.
Yeah. That's the shit.
Old school.
Yeah.
Definitely old school. You know, the big beat. You know, the straight up approach. It's, again, I wanted to showcase, what I want to showcase is the lyricism that this man has, this young man, you know. 1985 when this was recorded and produced by Rick Rubin, all right?
Long time ago,
all right? And every word you could understand in this. And yeah, by today's standards, it does sound, you know, older, but you have to understand Cool J, okay? And you can't forget Cool J. You can't. You can't, you know, just whitewash his career and everything that he contributed to rap music in a whole, because he paved the way. This song, when it debuted, not only did it debut probably with commercial success, but it debuted in Hollywood also in a film called Crush Groove. All right, there's a movie called Crush Groove starring Run DMC, Sheila E., the Fat Boys. It was Blair Underwood. Blair Underwood has been in many movies and TV shows. It was his debut performance as an actor, and he played Russell Simmons. Rick Rubin played himself. There's a scene in there, and this was a scene that stole the whole movie. It wasn't no more than... a few seconds long, okay? And it was involved Run DMC in a room, Russell Simmons, mm-hmm. and this happened in real life, mm-hmm. okay? There were auditions for a talent contest, mm-hmm. okay? All the talent came in and already performed, so they closed the door. In this room, at the time, circa 1985, mm-hmm. was Run DMC, okay? Now, again, this is for movie production value, of course, and whether it may or may not have happened is up to debate. But for this movie, okay. in this room, was Run DMC.
Just imagine if,
okay.
basically.
Run DMC, Jam Master Jay, Russell Simmons, and Rick Rubin are in this room. Talent's already done. All right. Cool J missed the audition.
Oh, no.
All right. So him and his entourage, which consisted of E-Love, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, who wears a hat, you know what I mean, and Cut Creator, his DJ, right?
Yeah.
Come in, barge in. They're like, yo, the contest is over. I mean, the tryouts are over.
Yeah.
All right? My man, Cool J busts in and says, box! And all you, and he's holding the big boombox. You know what I mean? And he hits play. Radio, believe me, I like, and he just starts rapping this song. And it's just a few seconds. And it cuts off, right? And everyone goes nuts. Not only do they go nuts in the room, Run DMC and Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin, they knew something magical was there in this young adult. Performing right there on the spot. So they were like, you're in, don't worry. You're in just based off that. And you'd have to see it. If you Google it, if you go on YouTube and Google LL Cool J Crush Groove, you'll see the performance.
Oh, I'm definitely.
He's got the baby blue polo shirt on and the baby blue Kangol.
I have a baby blue Kangol in honor of JLL.
He's got the terry cloth baby blue Kangol fresh. You know what I mean?
That's so funny.
He's got the skinny jeans. You know, he walks up in there. He's got the shoes, the hat to match. That's right.
I wasn't expecting you to pick him.
We used to get those baby blue terry cloth Kangols, and you take them and you fold them up, and then you put them under your bed and sleep on them so they had the crease.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? You got to have the crease right. And you know what I mean?
Specific about the crease.
Got to have the creases, even in the hat, man. I'm just trying to educate you. I told you, I went Cool J because just of the fact he embodies that MC. But also, he ran the mile. And what I mean by that, people, he battled everyone. Everyone.
And he earned it, you know?
He had to. Yeah. He had New York on his ass.
Yeah.
He had the world on his ass.
And he had a pretty boy face.
I think,
you know?
I think he battled, of course, Kool Moe Dee, MC Shan. I'm pretty sure Ice-T. He battled Cannabis. He's battled everyone from the 80s to into 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kept
hands
it going.
Hands down. Straight up battle. No guns.
I respect your decision.
No
I respect
guns.
Your choice, man.
No guns.
I respect.
And for me to just go into this next song, and it's just, it's a long song, people. We're playing the full songs, all right?
Out of respect.
It's going to, that's right. It's going to be that type of show.
All right.
And yes, I'm taking it back because we're going to have more than one episode on this. And you're going to see the evolution of an MC and also possibly the de-evolution of the current MC, today's atmosphere. I'm not saying that all of them are bad. There's some talented MCs out there, but do they embody what I call, are they game changing MCs, or are they just keeping up with the times? That's my argument. Are they just keeping up the times just to keep up with technology and to sound like the next man and to get radio play? Back in these days, man, they didn't, you know, win, lose, or draw, they were going to make music.
It was all about mixtapes, too.
Now, I can't live without my Radiohead commercial success. It was played on the radio, okay? But this
Huge.
This next song that he did is called Rock the Bells. Now, Rock the Bells, he had two versions. He had the version that came out on the album, on the record, and then he had the underground version that wasn't released, and it's hard to find, but it's straight up hardcore. And Kool J caught a lot of hell because of this, mainly because of the beat. This is produced by Rick Rubin, and they caught hell, and he had to battle a lot of MCs because of this. But listen to the lyrics, it says it all. Rock the Bells by LL Cool J.
Thank you.
Damn.
That motherfucker brought it.
That's the shit.
I'm telling you.
That was aggressive, but good.
Very aggressive. And the reason why I chose those songs was, at that time, no one was rapping with that aggression. Didn't exist.
Putting people in their place.
Didn't exist. That type of just straight up raw, you know, delivery. He changed the whole format when it comes to delivery. A lot of MCs picked up on that style. And a lot of MCs started trying to use big words. Which is good, because it opened up people's minds. It was a time where the MCs started picking up a dictionary, you know, and actually trying to see if they could improve their improve their vocabulary and expand it. Mm-hmm. Cool J is the one that changed that. He's the one that put that on the map.
This is a really good example.
So that's what I'm saying. When it comes to consciousness, mm-hmm. okay, it started here. It started here. And that's what I'm talking about. What MC today has done something that's game-changing that other people have taken that sound? Now, Biggie, you can go into Biggie. You can go, some would say Drake has done that. Some would say Lil Wayne. You know, there are a lot of respectable rappers out there. But, you know, I just wonder, the only thing... There's no right or wrong answer, because everyone has that person or persons, you know, that speaks to them, no yeah. matter who it is. But Cool J, you know, for me, you had to have Cool J. You can't overlook Cool J. Cool J has to be mentioned in there. It's easy to say, you know, you wouldn't even have Pac without Cool J. You can't have it. It's like saying you can't have Nas without Rakim. It doesn't exist. It's a symbiotic relationship. Yeah. They cannot exist without each other. Yeah. They needed each other, like Ali Frazier. You know what I mean? They needed each other.
It's like they thrive from each other, you know?
I'm just here trying to bring, you know, bring wisdom to the people.
I respect your choices.
I'm just trying to bring wisdom to the people. You know what I mean? And speaking of that, Mariam Tazi, let's go into your picks.
Yours were in the
80s. Yeah, I went vintage, you know what I mean? And I went with someone that you can't overlook. You got to show respect to. And this was one of the starting points. Now, that's going to go on.
I went 90s.
All right. There we go. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that.
I cheated a little, because it was supposed to be two songs, one MC.
Yeah.
One of my songs has three of my favorite MCs.
All right. And who you got? What you got? What's the first song?
I got Black Star featuring Common.
Mm.
So, it's the shit. It's the first song that they did with Common. So Mos Def knew Common before Talib got involved. And then... was able to meet Common on a bus, and it was like the shit. And he kept following up with Common. He was like, yeah, we'll make something together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, okay, months went by, nothing. He was like, Talib was like, I'm going to make something with him. I'm going to make this happen. And Common remembered him, and they made something, and this is what they made. And it's the shit. Play my song, please.
And that song is?
Respiration.
What'd you do last night? We did two whole cars. It was me, Dez, and me, three, right? And on the first car, in small letters, it said, all you see is, and then, you know, big, you know, black silver letters, it said, crime in the city, right? It just took up the whole car. Yeah, it was a whole car and shit, then it was a mess.
Escúchela, la ciudad respirando. Escúchela, la ciudad respirando. Escúchela, la ciudad respirando. Escúchela.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters of Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears prick, seeking what will transmit. Scribes can apply to transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual is suitable. Tonight alive, let's describe the inscrutable, the indisputable. We New York, the narcotics. Drake, the metal and fiber optics. We're mercenaries is paid to trade hot stocks for profits. Thirsty criminals dig pockets. Hard knuckles on the second hands of working class watches. Skyscrapers is colossus. The cost of living is preposterous. Stay alive, you pay or die, no options. No Batman and Robin. Can't tell between the cops and the robbers. They both partners, they all heartless, with no conscience. Back streets stay darkened, while unbeliever hearts stay hardened. My ego talent stay sharpened, like city lights stay throbbing. You either make a way or stay sobbing. The shiny apple is bruised but sweet, and if you choose to eat, you could lose your teeth. Many crews retreat, nightly news repeat. Who got shot down, the lockdown, spotlight the savages. NASDAQ averages, my narrative grows to explain its existence. Amidst the harbor lights which remain in the distance. So much on my mind that I can't recline. Blast the holes in the night till she blends sunshine. Breathe in, inhale vapors from bright stars that shine. Breathe out, we smoke, retrace the skyline. Heard the bass ride out like an ancient maiden call. I can't take it, y'all. I can feel the city breathing, chest heaving against the flesh of the evening. Sigh before it died like the last train leaving.
Breathing in deep city breaths, sitting on shitty steps, we stooped to new lows. Hell froze the night the city slept. The beast crept through concrete jungles, communicating with one another, and ghetto birds reward us for from the hydrants to the gutters. The beast walk the beats, but the beats we be making. You on the wrong side of the track, looking visibly shaken, taking in plungers, plunging to death that's painted by the numbers. We crawl on apply pressure. Cats is playing God, but having children by a lesser baby mother. But fuck it, we played against each other like puppets. Swearing you got pull when the only pull you got is the wool over your eyes. Getting knowledge in jail like a blessing in disguise. Look in the skies for God, what you see besides the smog is broken dreams flying away in the wings of the obscene. Thoughts that people put in the air, places where you could get murdered over a glare. But everything is fair, it's a paradox we call reality. So keeping it real will make you a casualty of abnormal normality. Killers born naturally like Mickey and Mallory. Not knowing the ways will get you capped like an NBA salary. So cast BMC in to illustrate what we be seeing. Hard to be a spiritual being when shit is shaking what you believe in. The trees to grow in Brooklyn, seeds need to be planted. I'm asking if y'all feel me, and the crowd left me stranded. My blood pressure boiled and rose. These New York niggas act to spoil their shows. To the winners, the spoils go. I take the L, transfer to the 2, head to the gates. New York life type trife, the Roman Empire state.
So much on my mind, I just can't recline. Blast the holes in the night till she bless sunshine. Breathe in, inhale vapors from bright stars that shine. Breathe out. Green smoke, we trace the skyline. Yo, don't the bass ride out like an ancient mating call. I can't take it, y'all. I can feel the city breathing, chest heaving against the flesh of the evening. Sigh before it died like the last train leaving.
Yo, on the amen corner I stood looking at my former hood. Felt the spirit in the wind, knew my friend was gone for good. Through dirt on the casket, the hurt I couldn't mask it. Mix it down, emotion, struggle I hadn't mastered. I choreographed 7 steps to heaven. Inhale, waiting to exhale and make the bread leaven. Veteran of a cold war, it's a guy I go for. What I know or what's known. So some days I take the bus home, just to touch home. From the crib I spend months gone. Sat by the window with a clutch stone, listening to shorties cuss long. Young girls are weak minds, but they butt strong. Tried to call or at least speak the Lord, but didn't have a touch tone. It's a dog and dog world, you got a must own. Some of this land I must own. Out of the city, they want us gone. Tearing down the jacks, creating plush homes. My circumstance is between Cabrini and Love Jones. Surrounded by hate, yet I love home. Asked my guy how he thought traveling the world sound. Found it hard to imagine he hadn't been past downtown. It's deep, I heard the city breathing asleep. A reality I touched, but for me it's hard to keep. It's deep, I heard my man breathing asleep. A reality I touched, but for me it's hard to keep.
So much on my mind, I just can't recline. Blasting holes in the night till she bless sunshine. Breathe in the hell vapors from bright stars that shine. Breathe out, we smoke, we trace the skyline. You heard the bass ride out like an ancient maiden call. I can't take it, y'all. I can feel the city breathing, chest heaving against the flesh of the evening. Kiss the eyes goodbye, I'm on the last train leaving.
That's what's up.
What do you think of my choice? Well, my first choice.
I mean, it's definitely a parallel.
I mean, this is, I find it a little, they're both poetic, you know, but this is not as aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No. This is science.
Right.
This is science.
The other one is more science. You'll get into that. Yeah, but this is like...
No, this is conscious rap.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of socio-political, economic...
And different times, too. You know what I mean? When you have the Cool J side of things, you're talking about the mid-80s, where rap music itself was trying to define itself, and you were defining who you were. Okay, if you notice with Cool J, there's no product placements.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? There's no Versace. There's no Rolls Royces. There's no Phantom.
That's not really in my shit either.
No, there's not.
But there are references. There's pop culture references.
Yeah, but this is storytelling intertwined with conscious way of thinking, life and its elements at its best. This is combined with, as you can see, the advancement of technology, a melody that's of instruments playing along. Whereas prior to, a decade before, it was a thunderous boom, clap, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, different style of sampling for sure.
But hats off to both of them, because what do both of them focus on? Lyrics.
Yeah.
Both of them focus on lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
There is depth in both of them. That's what I meant by the parallel. Mm. So with that in mind, let's go to your next. Want to set up your next song?
So my next one is just Most Def this time. And it's, I think, one of the most... How do I describe this?
Get it off
it's
your chest.
It's a really influential song. I mean, it's very wise. It's called Mathematics. And I think it's... pretty awesome too. DJ Premier did produce this one.
Premier,
who we love
very much. Much shout out to my boy Guru. Yeah. Rest in peace. Let me drink a little mangria to Guru.
Gangstar. Yeah.
Yeah. So pour a little bit out for my boy that's not here.
All right, play my song.
That's right. Here it is. Mathematics.
Bucka, 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 bucka. You know the deal. This is me, though. Beats by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the forthcoming live future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep an orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted powerless up out of this towering inferno, my ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway and Myrtle. Hip hop passed all your tall social hurdles, like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor better keep your alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say it back in with your sleep. It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow. It's a numbers game, but shit don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 bars to rock it, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crack. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sentence here, and then you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome, full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers, crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young bloods can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. This new map is with my motherfucker's ass. You wanna know how to rhyme, you better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty Most Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here? Mighty Most Def.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here? Talking about here.
Yo, it's one universal law, but two sides to every story. Three strikes and you bitten for life. Mandatory. Four MCs murdered in the last 4 years. I ain't trying to be the fifth when the millennium is here. Yo, it's 6 million ways to die from the seven deadly thrills. 8-year-olds getting found with 9 mils. It's 10 p.m. where your C's at. What's the deal? They on the hill pumping krills to keep their bellies filled. Lighting the ass with heavy steel. Sights on the pretty shit in life. Young soldiers trying to earn their next stripe. When the average minimum wage is $5.15, you best believe you gotta find a new ground.
grind to get cream. The white unemployment rate is nearly more than triple for black. So frontliners got their gun in your back. Bump on the crack, jewel theft and robbery to combat poverty and end up in the global jail economy. Stiffer stipulations attached to each sentence. Budget cutbacks but increased police presence. And even if you get out of prison, still living, join the other 5 million under state supervision. This is business. No faces, just lines and statistics from your phone, your zip code, the SSI digits. The system break man, shining women in the figures. Two columns for who is and who ain't niggas. Numbers is hard and real and they never have feelings. But you push too hard, even numbers got limits. Why did one straw break the camel's back? Here's the secret. The million other straws underneath it. It's all mathematics.
Mighty most
deaf. It's simple mathematics.
Check it out.
I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mighty most deaf.
It's simple mathematics.
Check it out.
I revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Thank you.
Wee.
That song is.
Did you the truth. Not bring it?
That's good. The truth.
Night.
Yeah.
Man.
Thank you.
You know what? You know what? This has been a learning experience because you really have to take the time out of your day and put a pair of headphones on.
Oh yeah.
And be almost
and listen. Listen.
I wouldn't say force yourself, but like we're doing this podcast right now, mm-hmm. right? So we're not going anywhere. I'm not hitting pause. I could have easily said, I'll hit pause. I'll add the song later in post-production.
No, we wanted to hear it. I want to hear it.
I'm listen. So happy that I sat and just listened to those lyrics. That right there, that's the food that I want. That's the stuff you want to. That's the stuff that you want to absorb into your bloodstream.
Truth.
That's the stuff they don't want you to hear.
Exactly. That's why it's not making money. That's
the
problem.
That's the stuff they don't want you to hear.
That's the problem.
They want you to hear, you know,
what's
pussy.
What's making money is that.
They want you to hear pimping. They want you to hear, what Rolls Royces and Benzes and what do they call now? Lamborghinis and Lambos and Moscato. I like Moscato. But at the same time, they want to promote all the stuff that's not good for you. You know what I mean? It's not good.
I'm
not saying if you work hard through your life and you are able to, you know, if you're able to afford a bottle of Moscato or Cristal or Aces or a Lamborghini in your life, so be it. I don't condemn success.
No, that's fine.
But when you're a teenager and you're thinking about a Lamborghini before you're thinking about finishing
school, yeah,
there lies the problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not going to get all preachy, but this is the purpose. This is the reason why these MCs are here. And this is what I'm talking about. There's no right or wrong. I'm not saying Kool J is better than Most Def. I'm not saying Kool J is superior to any other MC, but he shouldn't be forgotten. But
hasn't been forgotten.
He should be mentioned. Okay, but my point is this. My point is this. There is something that embodies what an MC is. You know, what makes them relevant? What makes you relevant? Who you are your own MC, okay? You're out there. What makes you relevant? What are you feeding yourself and what are you feeding others? Are you feeding others racist thoughts? Are you feeding others hatred? Are you spewing venom out there? Or are you out there educating? Not what you think is education, but what the truth is, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know
right.
what I mean? Are you what
and search for the truth and educate and just give facts.
And that's the point. That's
and
the
awareness.
That's the point of an MC. And that's what I challenge you, the listeners of American Riddle. What type of MC are you? What type of MC are you going to produce? You know, where are we going with this? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, what message are you trying to portray as a human being out in society?
You got to be your own MC.
Yeah.
Right, Mary?
Yeah.
Miriam?
Agreed.
Merm. Merm? Right, Mary? Merm. That's when you know you're hyped up and excited when you don't pronounce, you know, Merm? Merm. Your name's Merm.
I've had people call me that. Merm.
Merm. Hey, Merm.
The guest is here. Merm's
yeah.
here.
Well, to me sometimes. Hey, Mal. Don't say, what? Mal. Malcolm. Malcolm. Okay.
With two L's.
There are two L's. I said that. I was at Panera the other day and I just asked the guy, you know what I mean? I think his name was Blake. And I was like, I'm just curious. Can I have your name? I was like, yes, Malcolm. And I said, and by the way, let me just ask, how'd you spell it? Malcom? I was like, oh, everyone spells it that way, but that's not the correct way. And he looks at me and I was like, but I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just kind of, you know, fielding things.
Gauging.
To see. Yeah, I'm gauging to see how many times people spell my name with the C-O-M, but there's a C-O-L-M. So there's two L's in my name. I'm saying this to him, okay? And he's looking at me and he gets it, you know, but he knows that I'm not annoyed where I'm being pissy with him. But he knows
it's happened a lot.
Yeah. And I'm going on and on about the two L's. And I was like, all right. And he goes, have a nice day, Malcolm with two L's.
Aw.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
He listened.
That's right. He's learning. You know what I mean? I was emceeing right
there. There you go.
I was educating. I'm emceeing. So that's what we got to do, people. All right. So thanks for tuning in. Go to American Riddle. Find American Riddle on Twitter. I've activated that account. I've been trying to do some tweets here and there. But follow American Riddle on Twitter. You can follow me at Malcolm Riddle on Twitter. Give us some feedback on what you think an MC should be. Post it on Facebook. Let me know, because we're going to do more than one volume of what it is to be an MC. Doesn't, you know, just keep it in mind. You're an MC too. So what you do in your own life, in your habitat, in your community, you MC. So on that note, domino, motherfucker.
True, I believe in you.